This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. And one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spell babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
OMG, we are back.
We sure are. We are live. Oh my God, is this thing on? Is this thing
right?
On?
It's been a while. I mean, it hasn't really been a while. We act like we've been gone forever, but it's only been like a week.
No, it's been like 2 weeks, right? I mean,
it's
seriously.
It's a full week that we left.
Yeah.
The previous week was Christmas. So let's be clear. You know, we could have been gone for longer, but we decided, we chose to come back because we love you.
Let's be honest here. They probably wouldn't care if we were back or not.
That is not
no,
fair.
No, but I do think a lot of people are feeling this way where if you had a little bit of a break, you're like, did you even take a vacation at this point? Because I most definitely woke up this morning feeling the exact same way. But we're here to give you everything you need to know. And honestly, I'm excited. It felt good being back in the swing of things.
Oh, yeah. And there's a lot happening in the news. So we wouldn't have known what to do with ourselves, Ryan. All this breaking news would have happened. We're like, what do we do with this information?
I know. It's wild. It's wild. And if it was a regular year, I feel like it would have felt a lot longer, the break. But because this year and time doesn't exist, it just feels like everything's just collided together.
Exactly. You know, we're feeling it. We're sending you positivity. And thank you for hanging out with us as we get into 2021. Coming up on the show, apps to hack your resolutions and help you create a quarantine routine. Plus, everything you need to know about the Trump leaked audio from the weekend, we've got you covered. But right now, let's get into some what's trending this hour. The Georgia Senate runoff election is tomorrow. VP Pence spoke in Georgia today amidst controversy over that phone call between President Trump and Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger that got released Sunday.
You know, I know we all got our doubts about the last election. And I want to assure you, I share the concerns of millions of Americans about voting irregularities. And I promise you, come this Wednesday, we'll have our day in Congress. We'll hear the objections. We'll hear the evidence. But tomorrow is Georgia's day.
Okay, and we'll be covering all of that tomorrow on the show as well as the results come in from Georgia. Now, lots more happening from Georgia. Georgia's newest member of the House of Representatives, Marjorie Taylor Greene, began her career on Capitol Hill on Sunday in Washington for the swearing-in of the new Congress. And she entered the halls wearing a Trump-won mask, but then quickly took off the mask when she stepped onto the House floor. Now, remember, she is the QAnon Congresswoman, by the way. And this whole thing caused a screaming match between congressional staffers who demanded she put her mask back on. Now, in July, Speaker Nancy Pelosi mandated masks on the House floor for this 116th Congress and is likely to make similar rules for the current Congress, but those rules have yet to be put in place.
She's the worst. She's the one where I remember she talked about doing this and the fact that she actually did it. I mean, she's going to be so complicit in so many murders that are going to happen if she ends up catching it and spreading it throughout this. And it sucks because it's irresponsible that she's even in the House of Representatives because we know what she represents, unfortunately.
It reminds me of like those popular kids in high school who are problematic and then they get to college and then like freshmen, they try to pull what they pulled and people in college who are like now becoming semi-adults are like, no, what are you doing?
Yeah, she's a child. You're right.
Yeah. Now, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is proposing a law to make it a crime to sell or administer coronavirus vaccine shots to people who are trying to skip ahead in line. So don't skip ahead in line. Don't try it. Providers can lose their license if they fraudulently administer vaccines. Now, that announcement comes after one New York clinic was accused of misrepresenting itself to the state's Department of Health to obtain vaccine doses. And that was what's trending this hour. What's happening in entertainment news, Ryan?
All right, we got your T report, those pop culture stories that are trending right now. And of course, news broke last night that veteran talk show host Larry King has been hospitalized in Los Angeles with COVID-19. He, you know, of course, he has survived multiple health scares in the past, including a heart attack, a stroke, prostate and lung cancer, and diabetes. So it's really scary to hear this news. Of course, according to reports, he's been hospitalized at Cedars-Sinai in Los Angeles for more than 10 days. And he was, of course, moved from the ICU unit on Sunday, which that may mean, you know, he's up on the up and up. So we're sending him tons of love and his family as this is very scary to hear, of course. So, yeah.
He's old.
Yeah, he is very old. So it's scary to know that, especially with all these preconditions that he has, that he's going through this. But let's move on because Meghan McCain, she has returned to The View and she wasted no time to issue a plea to her fellow conservatives about paid maternity leave. She went on to talk about how her experience giving birth and being diagnosed with postnatal preeclampsia changed her perspective on paid maternity leave.
I'm happy she's finally seeing what needs to be done. It sucks that it takes things happening to someone to see that others need support and help.
I mean, we've seen this. I mean, from COVID to now this, it's honestly on brand for most Republicans. They don't understand until it happens to them. And it's annoying that she kind of was able to sit on her high horse on The View today to talk about this issue when she should have been talking about it way before this has happened, because it's been something that's been going on for so many women and so many others, and they've been impacted by this. But guess what? Republicans don't see it until it happens to them.
Yeah. And I wonder, did she acknowledge or apologize for having taken the other side?
She did not. But I would love to know what y'all are thinking. Let us know what your thoughts are on social at LGT Show everywhere. And of course, more T Report coming up next hour, because you will not believe who is Hollywood's new hot couple, honey.
Oh, I want to know. Okay. Coming up on the show, the leaked Trump audio clip talking to the Georgia Secretary of State that everyone is sharing, but will it matter? The Washington Post joins us for that next.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Let's get into that audio recording that went viral yesterday. It was everywhere. It was obtained by the Washington Post, revealing President Trump urging fellow Republican Brad Raffensperger, who's the Georgia Secretary of State, to find enough votes so that Trump could overturn the state's election results. Here is a little bit of that.
So, look, all I want to do is this. I just want to find 11,780 votes, which is one more that we have, because we won the state. So tell me, Brad, what are we going to do? We won the election, and it's not fair to take it away from us like this.
That was a one-hour phone call that happened Saturday and has many wondering if Trump could be implicated in a potential criminal act. Well, back with us, it's the first time she's back in the new year, because this is our first day back, editor of The Fix for The Washington Post, Natalie Jennings. Welcome back.
Good to be with you this year.
Didn't the Washington Post break this?
Yes, they did. Amy Gardner, our reporter who's been following voting issues since way back before this pandemic made them super interesting, broke it yesterday.
That's amazing. Ooh. I mean, I guess it is a pretty wild phone call to listen to. And when you read the transcript, the fact that he even shared all of this with lawyers on both sides on the call, what's the most surprising thing about this? Because it's not like he reveals new information.
It's not. And, you know, the Georgia Secretary of State and his team seem to be really prepared for all the conspiracy theories that he floated. I think the things that were most surprising were how pretty blatant he was that he was on a hunting expedition for a specific amount of votes, just the amount that would happen to overturn the election. And also, you know, this is a real window into where his head is at right now. This was not supposed to be for public consumption. So, you know, it's not totally different than what we see. Of course, we don't see him as much as we had gotten accustomed to over the last 4 years. We haven't seen him publicly that much. But he is really obsessed by this. He seems convinced that there's something out there. Probably speaks to where he's getting his information and how people are humoring him about these things that are just provably false or have already been debunked.
Yeah, I mean, I listened to about 30 minutes of the hour-long phone call before I just was like, oh, this guy's just talking in circles, and it just feels like he went down a QAnon thread, and this is what we're getting. These are the results. Why aren't we hearing, like high-profile Republicans speaking up about this? I know a couple of them have been asked specifically about this phone call, and they just completely just moved past it. But why aren't we hearing people on the Republican side speak up about this?
Well, some have. And remember, Brad Raffensperger himself is a Republican. The governor of Georgia is a Republican, and they have been pretty consistent in their message that this election was
conducted
fairly.
But he's not Trump's chosen, though, you know?
Yeah, he was. Yes, exactly. We also haven't seen all of the Republicans in the House and Senate are not back in Washington yet or not in business yet. So we will hear more from them as they are, especially as we get closer to Wednesday, when the Congress is supposed to certify these results. So there will be plenty of opportunity to talk with them and hear from them over the next couple of days. And we expect them to be put on the spot and grilled pretty heavily. Some of them don't want to speak on this. Of course, it's tough politically for them. And so some have come out, Pat Toomey from Pennsylvania called this, I think, a new low in this futile effort, and something even more strongly worded than that.
Mm. Yeah.
So that's one flavor of that side of the Republican spectrum. Of course, there is the side of the Republican spectrum that is sticking very closely to Trump and not going to castigate him on this.
Yeah, of course. Again, you're hearing from Natalie Jennings, the editor of The Fix for The Washington Post. Now, Democrats are already asking FBI Director Christopher Wray to begin an immediate criminal investigation into Trump. Does this call and this audio warrant that? Will they have any grounds?
That's to be determined. It's being debated. I think, you know, my understanding, just reading what various legal scholars have said in media reports, that's what we have to go on right now, is that this definitely put President Trump into some questionable legal territory. There is a law against, undermining a free and fair election. And it seemed pretty clearly that that is what people would use to go after Trump. Part of that, from what I understand, included proving intentionality. And that is where it can get tricky. You have to sort of prove what's in someone's head. Did Trump know that he was speaking against the facts, or did he really believe what he was saying? And that, of course, gets tricky to prove.
Yeah, it does. And I just remember back in October of last year where there was all these conversations about the 25th Amendment and Nancy Pelosi, you know, if Donald Trump isn't fit to longer, you know, do his term. And it just seems like after listening to that phone call, it sounded like a person that was kind of losing it. Do you think that's something that's going to be brought up into the conversation again? Are we too close to Joe Biden getting into office to even worry about it at this point?
I think we're probably so close that no one would want to go down that route. I don't know. It's unprecedented, and I don't know how long it would take. And we are just shy of 2 weeks away from Biden being sworn in. Of course, after President Trump is not president, that's when he's exposed to legal liability again, in a way that he hasn't been. So that would be the thing to watch on that. I don't think the 25th Amendment is the remedy here. It's more criminal in nature. But again, it's really unprecedented as to whether this is prosecutable.
That was Natalie Jennings, editor of The Fix for The Washington Post. Thanks so much. Now coming up, the Georgia Senate runoffs are happening tomorrow. What candidates are in the lead, and does the state really care about the national implications of their votes? That's next.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
The Georgia election runoffs are tomorrow, January 5th. The state has been in the national headlines as the vote will determine who wins the Senate, the Democrats or Republicans. And joining us right now is the co-host of the Gaining Ground, the new Georgia podcast, Jewel Wicker. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So what does this new Georgia look like to you in a political context?
You know, it's so funny because when people ask me about that, they're like, is this really the new Georgia? And I guess it depends on who you ask, right? Like people who have been here, who have been doing this work will tell you that this Georgia has been here, right? There have been people of color here in Georgia that have been organizing and doing this work for decades, right? And this movement for Georgia to flip has certainly been years in the making. But I think this is the first time on a national scope that we're all as a country seeing that Georgia has been able to make this shift. And I think it's kind of a blueprint for other strongly Republican states about what can happen when those organizers kind of take control and kind of organize.
Yeah, what I think is interesting, obviously, last night, those recordings, those audio recordings with President Trump in trying to pressure Georgia, the Secretary of State, to kind of recalculate the vote in his favor. But I was wondering, can we talk a little bit about the connection that this might have with some of the Georgia candidates? Do you see any connection there? And could this possibly affect, you know, their outcome?
Well, you know, I think it's a good question. And I think we'll have to see. I think what we're really interested in when it comes to tomorrow's runoffs is the idea that Republicans are both trying to get out the vote for Republican voters and also be, but we're also hearing from like President Trump, this is a fraud. So why would people go out and vote if the voters, you know, if the process is a fraud? So we're really going to, it's going to be interesting to see if voters are deterred from coming out to the polls or whether or not they're emboldened to come out to the polls. I mean, I don't think, one thing I've learned about Georgia politics is you don't know until you know. You can think you know, and you just have no idea. And so I can't call it. I can't tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. But I do think it's going to be really interesting to see how Republican voters take to this, because, I mean, it's a pretty damning call. You know, it's insane to listen to.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. It really defines where we're at right now as a society and politically. So with that said, and again, we're talking to the co-host of the Gaining Ground, the new Georgia podcast, Jewel Wicker. Are we seeing any traction from any specific candidate? We've seen, obviously, a lot of money coming into the Democratic candidates nationally, but what's happening on the ground right now?
I mean, I think both sides have just been really working to energize their base. We've seen, you know, on the Democratic side, we've had Kamala was just here, Vice President-elect Kamala Harris was just here yesterday. We've seen Biden, President Obama has come out. Rappers like Jeezy and Jermaine Dupri have been on the campaign trail. But it's been interesting on the Republican side, like Governor Brian Kemp hasn't gone out with Kelly Loeffler because he has been somebody who has not been the president is not a fan of him currently. And so it's been really interesting to see who they've kind of tapped to come out and campaign. But they are for sure still on the campaign trail throughout Georgia, trying to get out those last mobilization tactics before tomorrow.
So let's talk a little bit about your podcast, Gaining Ground, the New Georgia. I would love to know, because obviously you live an intersectional life, how are you all tapping into that conversation when it comes to Black voters and even voter suppression that happened in the election and is continuously happening in the state?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, I'm a Georgia girl through and through, born and raised here. My family is from here. And so the first thing that Rembert and I had at the top of our minds when we were approached for this podcast was, oh, we just want to usher in as many local voices as possible, right? Like if we're going to do this and we're going to do this on a national scale, we want people to give us the leeway to be able to usher in as many local reporters, as many grassroots organizers and, you know, pundits and politicians as possible, so that we can tell the totality of this story when it comes to Black voters, Latinx voters, Asian American voters, and what this has looked like. And we've been really lucky in that Tenderfoot and Cricket Media have been great partners in that. And they have been like, you know, you guys know Georgia. So, you know, they've been really, really receptive to all of our ideas when it comes to making sure that we were as diverse as possible.
You know, I spent my 21st so cool. birthday in Georgia. I'm from Nashville, honey. I've spent a ton of time getting drunk in the Atlanta streets. So we're going to save that for another show.
Okay, all right.
That's your credibility in Georgia.
You know, that's my credibility. You know, the streets have seen me.
Well, what were some of the learnings while producing this podcast? Any surprises?
You know, what I think we really wanted to show with this podcast, even though it's on a national scale, because, you know, we have all of these people, even outside of Georgia, saying, how can we get involved in this? How do we mobilize voters in Georgia and make sure that they get out to vote? And I think the big lesson here and the big reminder here is that Georgians got it. You know, you can help and you can ask how best to help, but we don't need y'all to take over and we don't need y'all to run the show. You know, we mobilize voters to flip the state blue in November. And, you know, if it's going to happen again tomorrow, it's going to be because of those local grassroots organizers who know what people here in Georgia need. Because this message, there's this overarching message that Georgia's going to save the country, right? Like, if these two Democrats are elected, that, you know, it has to do with control of the Senate. And Georgia organizers have really been key in reminding people that we know what Georgians want, and not that message of we're going to save the country is not what they want. They want to know about, are we going to get jobs? What's the economy going to look like? All of those things.
All right. Well, that was Jewel Wicker, host of Gaining Ground, the New Georgia podcast. Thanks so much for being here.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Now coming up on the show, our resolutions for 2021, why it might not be the magical cure we're all looking for to erase 2020. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
We're about to talk about resolutions for 2021. And later in the show, we're going to get into resolutions versus intentions and why you should differentiate the two and possibly lean towards intentions. But in the meantime, let's go there. Resolutions. What are yours, Ryan?
I don't have any. I am refusing to set them because I think, yeah, I just don't want to. I think it brings in too much pressure to try to accomplish something. And I think right now, the most important thing after a year like 2020 is to really just focus on yourselves and focus and being present in the moment. And I think a lot of times setting these intentions or resolutions can be a little overwhelming and can create a lot of noise instead of having you focus on the moment.
Oh my, Ryan, I'm like, I feel like I'm a mom who is about to cry. That was so touching.
Oh, thanks. Thanks.
I really enjoyed that. You know, it's something I think about every year. Like, I tend to give in and write things down. Mm-hmm. More, I think, intentions, because I did find that as I was looking towards goal setting every year, and every year if I didn't hit that goal or maybe something else happened that still I enjoyed, but it wasn't that, it would be disappointing and I wouldn't kind of appreciate what I was getting, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And I think I feel like the one big takeaway, and I feel like we talked about it obviously before our break, but like my one big takeaway for 2020 was like, I genuinely don't really have any complaints. Obviously, it was sad to see our world be in the place and the state that it was in. But I feel like me personally, that year was necessary. I mean, a lot of that taught me how to adult in ways and taught me how to face things right forward and relationship loss and gains. And so, like, I couldn't really wrap up 2020 as a terrible year. And I don't really want to take that energy. I don't want to take any negative energy into this year. Like, I want to look at it and be prepared for anything that possibly could happen because I'm still a pessimist. But yeah, I'm just kind of looking at it from a more unique lens.
Yeah, I think for me, if anything, the things that I'm being intentional about is not being so hard on myself. Like, I tend to judge myself a lot, right? And that doesn't allow me to be in the present and put my best self forward.
Yeah.
Because I'm just like stuck in my head. And I know I'm not alone in that. So if anything, it's just like being kinder to myself because, oh, and I love this. I was listening to an audiobook this morning on my walk outside.
Ooh, look at you.
And Ram Dass, you know, this like spiritual teacher, he was saying how it's not about just seeing all humanity. It's about seeing your own humanity in everything you do.
Mm.
And how much we forget that, right? So we are our worst and biggest critics. So I'm trying not to be that this year and really let go and just like kind of accept. Acceptance is huge because a lot of us want to control everything, right? We all want to control because we want to know what's coming.
Yeah, and I know a lot of therapists in articles that I've been seeing online and talking about kind of how we should be viewing 2021. A lot of them are saying that we should view this year as a mental reset. And I do feel like that's a little harder, easier said than done. But I have to agree. Like, I want to look at this like, you know, can we just pretend like 2020 didn't genuinely happen? But so also acknowledge what happened, you know?
Exactly. So, and as we wrap this up in this article on Yahoo, which was all about a gentle reminder that 2021 isn't going to be a magical cure for 2020. This psychotherapist, Grace Dowd, said that a lot of people, as you mentioned, they want to write off 2020 as the worst year ever without realizing that 2021 is going to have its own struggles. Mm. It makes it like your mentality is black and white. It paints the world as black and white. And this year was either all good or all bad. So a more productive way to look at this year is to acknowledge that, like most things in life, the year will hold both positive and negative outcomes. And guess what? You can handle it.
Wow. I mean, we're going to dive in more into that too, because I'm really interested in the intention setting and what that really truly means, because it sounds like it could be just like resolutions, but we'll figure it out. We have someone, an expert actually coming on to help us.
Yeah, that plus the habit tracking apps that could help you with your quarantine routines. More details on that next.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Coming up on the show, how to form a new habit in 2021. Get over your old ones. Plus, why intentions might be the new resolution. Yes, that and more on the show in the next hour. But first, let's get into some what's trending this hour. Top stories happening right now. Governor Baker of Massachusetts called his fellow Republicans' efforts to overturn President Trump's loss an affront to democracy.
I think the noise and the accusations and the commentary about challenging this or that is an affront to democracy and to the voice of the people who turned out in record numbers in this election to support a whole bunch of candidates.
Now more than 100 U.S. congressmen and at least a dozen GOP senators have vowed to challenge electoral votes in key states where they continue to push unconfirmed claims of voter fraud. Trump tweeted today, not specifically addressing Baker, but saying this, the surrender caucus within the Republican Party will go down in infamy as weak and ineffective guardians of our nation. Okay. Now, Congress convenes in a joint session on Wednesday, January 6th to confirm President-elect Joe Biden's 306 to 232 Electoral College win. D.C.'s mayor has called in 340 National Guard troops as Washington, D.C. is preparing and warning of potentially violent protests around the Congress vote on Wednesday. Trump supporters are planning to rally tomorrow, Tuesday and Wednesday, seeking to boost the president's unproven claims of widespread voter fraud. And this comes from D.C.'s acting police chief, Robert Conti, who said this, there are people intent on coming to our city armed. So that's happening right now in D.C. Now let's move on to the $600 stimulus payments from the latest $900 billion Coronavirus Relief Act. They are hitting bank accounts and mailboxes for millions of Americans. And for a few, the money won't come via direct deposit or in paper check form. Okay, instead, it will be sent on a debit card. IRS is sending some of the payments on debit cards to speed the delivery, and that's according to the agency. It also said that the format of the payment may be different from the first round, meaning that even if you didn't get a card the first time, you might now.
I mean, honestly, I need for this to kind of happen in some ways because I moved and now I have to change my address online. There's a form that I have to fill out, which is delaying everything. It's absolutely ridiculous. And it just feels like, well, if this may be a, like an easier situation, I don't know. Like, it makes sense.
Yeah. Hey, let me know if you're getting your money yet. At LGT Show is where to hit us up. We want to know if you've gotten paid. because I haven't gotten paid yet. Have you, Ryan?
Why would you get paid?
I got paid last time.
Oh, y'all, Shira over here scamming the system. She ain't even a citizen.
Well, I pay taxes.
She ain't a citizen.
Oh my God, what is going on?
She ain't no American citizen.
Stop starting fake news conspiracy
theories.
This
is literally what the MAGA supporters are saying. They are talking about lock her up, y'all. Lock her up. She over there getting her hard on money.
Hey, how, you know, maybe I want to be locked
up. Did you vote too? Did you vote?
No, actually, wait, hold up. Actually, over the holidays, I messaged my lawyer to see if I could start applying for my citizenship. Now the debate is, should I go through a law firm or just do it myself? But I'm worried about doing myself because I'm the type of person that would skip some of the parts, right? And then like they would write me back like, sorry, after all of this, you haven't been accepted because you forgot to say your middle name.
Well, then don't skip the parts. It's that simple.
All right, Ryan, let's move into the tea report. What's going on?
All right. It looks like Olivia Wilde has moved on from Jason Sudeikis. Is that it? Sudeikis?
Sudeikis.
Oh, I was close. Sudeikis. You know, y'all, I'm always getting names wrong. But she is with Harry Styles now. This is your tea report. Those pop culture moments trending right now. So Olivia, who is 36, and Harry, who is 26, took their romance public when they were spotted holding hands at his agent's wedding. So do we think this is too soon? Because she literally just broke up with Jason. And is the age difference too much?
Okay, well, two things. One, I think when we hear about a breakup publicly, it happened probably a while back.
Probably.
So I don't know how too soon it is. It's never too soon when it's the heart. You know, maybe this is meant to be. How big is the age gap?
36, 26, 10 years.
Oh.
So it's like us. It's like us.
I mean, yes, then I would say the age gap is big.
I mean,
no, listen, I think there can be that attraction. And Harry Styles is an old soul and he's been through a lot. You know, a normal 26-year-old would not be like a Harry Styles. But that said, I think that, you know, the issues or the disconnect might come in later in the relationship, not during this honeymoon phase.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure, but I'm happy she's getting her groove back. That's all that really matters. But we're going to move on because we have some good news. Busy Phillips revealed that her oldest child, Birdie Leah, is gay. Welcome to the family, honey. Busy gave some insight into Birdie's journey on Thursday's episode of Busy Phillips is Doing Her Best podcast and shared that 12-year-old Birdie prefers they/them pronouns. And what I really loved about this is Busy admitted that she even has done a bad job with pronouns when talking to you or about Birdie, but was working on it because of how important it is to their identity. And I think that is super important for so many parents to hear. And yeah, I'm happy that she's continuously being there and showing up for her child in the way that her child deserves.
Yep, I really like Busy Phillips.
I do too, and that's your tea report. More coming up next hour because we have to talk about this drunk superfan who legally changed his name to Celine Dion. Yes,
of course.
You heard me right.
Okay. Well, coming up on the show next, can habit tracking apps help bring some routine back to our quarantine lives? That's next.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Our quarantine schedules have made it difficult to get into a habit or routine, but some apps are looking to change that. And why not figure it out in 2021? Because, you know, that's where it's at right now. And joining us to help us dive in is Nisha Chattel, who's a journalist and director of audience and engagement at Vox. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So in your article, you talked about this new survey from CIT Bank. It found that 43% of Americans are setting New Year's resolutions for 2021 compared to 35% who did the same for 2020. So are we more optimistic, I guess?
Yeah, I think that people are really looking for a fresh start after, you know, kind of a terrible year universally almost for everyone last year. People are really, it seems like, craving a fresh start. New habits, bringing a little bit more structure into their lives after spending, you know, the last 9 months largely at home. So the surveys found there's definitely been an increase in people making resolutions this year.
Yeah, so let's start from the beginning, though. So with your research, how are habits even formed?
I talked to a couple different experts when I originally wrote this piece. And actually, an interesting thing is that I wrote this piece a couple years ago, and then I actually revisited it this year and did an update to it. in light of the pandemic and quarantine and how that's changing our habits. One of the experts I originally talked to is Charles Duhigg, who is a pretty well-known expert on habits. He wrote a book called The Power of Habit. And he sort of defined habits as, you know, there's kind of a basic structure of a cue, a routine, and a reward. And he calls this the habit loop. So he talks about how you basically, you know, for a person to be successful at creating habits, you have to figure out like what the right cues are for you to remember to do this new habit. And then also what's the right reward.
Yeah, because we're all different, right? And I do like how you mentioned how people fit into one of four tendencies when it comes to habit formation. So what are those so we can understand where we all fit?
Yeah, so that tendency framework comes from another expert I talked to for this story, Gretchen Rubin, who's also like a pretty well-known expert in this area. She wrote this book called The Four Tendencies, and basically she says you fall into like one of four patterns in terms of how you develop habits. So you're either an upholder. An upholder is the type of person who's really internally accountable and intrinsically motivated. So if they say, you know, I made a promise to myself that I'm going to get up and run every day at 6 a.m., they do that because they made a promise to themselves and they will uphold that commitment. The next type is obligers, which I'm definitely an obliger. Obligers are people who are good with external accountability. So there are people who are like, well, I promised my friend I would get up and meet her at 6 a.m. to run. So I have to go because I don't want to disappoint my friend or let her down. That kind of accountability has worked really well for me, of like promising your friend or having a buddy or like signing up for a workout class where there's like a penalty fee if you cancel and you don't want to pay that fee. So then there's questioners, which is the third type. These are people that need to understand the rationale behind behind why they should do something. So they need to understand scientific research and they need to like understand the data behind something to feel motivated to do it. And the last type in the four tendencies is rebels who, tend to reject rules and obligations from other people. So they don't like to be told what to do and they really need to want to do something on their own and need to find their own way to do it versus somebody else's rules or structures or frameworks.
So fascinating. Again, we're talking to Anisha Chattel, who's a journalist and director of audience and engagement at Vox, about starting new habits in the new year.
You know, a lot of these things would have coaches in person, right? You would get a coach in person, but now it's pivoting to apps. But are the apps actually helping? Are they working?
Yeah, I think it really, I think it really depends. So part of it is that like everybody has a different style. And so all these apps rely on different, different types of styles and different forms of accountability. So one thing is like finding the app that works for you. Like some people like the streak method of like, I get on a streak of practicing Spanish every day and I don't want to break the chain, I'm at 20 days or whatever. Some people feel really motivated by that. Some people need, pings and reminders. Some people need accountability from someone in like a more community-based app. So part of it is like, because everyone has these different tendencies, you need to find the app that works for you. And having the wrong app might not work for you, right? So it's sort of figuring out the app that is tailored to your style and what you respond to.
And just quickly, as we wrap it up, are there even two that you could recommend? One that maybe, and I know there are some that cost a bit because it's like having a coach with you, and then one that's maybe free but can help.
Yeah. I'm currently using an app called Done. It allows you to do three habits for free. So I found that works well for me because you don't really want to be trying to build a ton of new habits all at once anyway. So three is like a manageable amount. I think it's a really nice app. And then I also like this app called Streaks, which allows you to, it's kind of the methodology I was just talking about of don't break the chain. You create a streak of doing something every day and you're trying to build this like long-term streak. And then you get to a certain point where you don't want to break it because you've been doing something for X amount of days. And it's a great motivator, I think.
All right. Well, that was Anisha Chattel, journalist and director of audience and engagement at Vox. Thanks so much. And best of luck with your new habit.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
You too. Coming up on the show, how to set intentions without setting yourself up for failure and disappointment. That's next.
Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
It's the new year and everyone is setting resolutions, but is it time to that we throw resolutions out the door once and for all? What would be a good alternative? Back with us is Dr. Alfie. She's the founder of the Acoma Project and host of the Couched in Color podcast. Thanks again for being here. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. It's always nice to be with you two lovely humans.
Oh, we love you. So what is your take on this? Like, what do you do yourself? And then I want to hear what you are advising for your patients.
Yeah. So what I do is I say reset and refresh. That's what I say, because I feel like resolutions is too much pressure, right? Because the resolution is always something about turning us into like some perfect version of ourselves. And then by 3 weeks in, January 21st, you're like, I'm terrible. And so I tell people, I just say, just refresh and reset, which is what I tell people. And it's also what I do. So what the refresh and reset is just literally practicing things like being grateful for what I have, taking a moment to look around the room, like, what do I have that I'm grateful for? Being grateful for my family's health, being grateful for my own health, and grateful for the lessons that I've learned. So that's a little bit of what I do, but refresh and reset is it for me.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. We talked a little bit about this earlier in the show, and I am doing the same thing. I'm not setting a resolution, but I do want to kind of talk a little bit about the resetting and refreshing. I think it's going to be particularly hard to really kind of just reset from 2020. So what are you recommending people do in that sense? Because it feels like there's just too much that we're still tied to last year, and we might be for a while.
Totally. I mean, I like that. I like the idea of it and being realistic. Like, that's the reality, that every day something happens. Like, let's not even talk about what I saw on the news yesterday from the Washington Post. We're not gonna go there. But it's, you see it, it doesn't ever stop. And so you are constantly bombarded with things, but I always come back to, you have to be present in this moment. That stuff is there. It's not going anywhere. It's going to be there. 2020 was hard on so many levels, like incalculably hard. It was nuts. And so you recognize that. At the same time, you don't live there. You allow yourself to live right where you are in this moment today. And I learned from Shira, listening to her, this idea of letting the thoughts flow in. Mindfulness teaches you that you let the thoughts flow in, but you let them drift right back out, right? You don't fight them. You don't try to wrestle with them. You just allow them to be. And I think what you learn in that process is that the thoughts alone are not going to like break you apart. It's the feeling that you attach and the tension that you attach to those thoughts. So if you separate and allow them to flow, I think that moves you further forward without being stuck on what happened before and in the past.
Yeah, so important. Dr. Alfie, again, is with us. But say you have goals, you have things that you want to accomplish in this year, right? There are timelines. How do you approach it without it feeling like a burden sometimes, or like it might end up being a disappointment?
It will sometimes feel like a burden or a disappointment. One of the things I always try to say to people is, you know, when we talk about positive psychology and we talk about mindfulness, meditation, and being present, and I don't know, yoga practice and breathing and all those things, I think sometimes people get the impression that you're always supposed to feel happy and positive emotions 100% of the time. No,
because that's what they tell you. I mean, but that's also what they tell you. Everybody acts like they're at peace and all this crap. It's exactly, I mean, it's the reason why people have that perception of them.
That's true. You're exactly right, because that's what we're taught. You are exactly right. I think what, you know, to counter, to balance that out, I think we do have to think about it like two sides of a scale. You're never always going to be this way or this way, or perfectly balanced. There's always going to be like some turmoil or some negative emotions to balance out the positive emotions. So it's just being comfortable with the idea that you will feel those negative emotions. And as long as you're always working towards the best things for yourself, taking care of your mental health, taking care of your physical health, meditation, yoga, whatever your practices are, then those negative feelings are not going to last forever. I'm hesitating because I don't want to say they'll kill you, right? And I don't want people to walk away because, you know, sometimes the thoughts get so heavy, people do want to do things like, right? They have suicidal ideation. But the thoughts alone are not the things that are going to break you apart. It's what you attach to them. Yeah. So you can have goals, but be okay with not meeting them. It's okay.
It's about mindset. Mindset is really important.
I agree with all. I agree with everything that is being said, but I also think about how there is a sense of comfortability in the way that if someone has gotten so comfortable in the way that they're thinking, and it can be difficult to think any other way because that place feels like home. It feels comfortable. Yes. Yes. How do you get out of that? How do you build a new home?
Yes, you practice. It is all about the practice. Remember, you don't just fall into being comfortable with whatever that mindset is that you're in. You worked your way into that. Whoever we are, we work our way into that. And so the same way you work yourself into that, I always tell people, give yourself the benefit of knowing you have the agency. You have it within, you have the capacity to work yourself into another way of thinking. But it takes practice. It's like losing weight, right? Like, you don't just wake up one day, oh, I weigh too much, I've decided, and all the weight comes off. You have to work at it. The same way we worked our way up in weight, we got to work our way back down. So it's just an active practice in being conscious and paying attention and focused and doing it regularly.
Ah, love it. Three words, do the work. That should be the name of our podcast today. Do the work. Okay. Dr. Alfie, appreciate you as always. Again, the founder of the Acoma Project and the host of the Couched in Color podcast. Go check it out. Have a beautiful day.
You too.
Now coming up over the holidays, actor Kumail Nanjiani surprised social media with his buff transformed bod. Why some people's remarks were called out as racist. That's next.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Kumail Nanjiani. Okay, so he's an actor, comedian, known for roles in the show Silicon Valley, The Big Sick. He's Pakistani-American, typically played the nerdy characters, right? Because he was a thin guy, right?
He was a nerdy guy. I mean, thin, Silicon Valley, guy. that yes. show. I mean, I think there's something to be said about the nerds who become hot. Right.
Totally.
And it's alarming sometimes.
It is. And so he alarmed first people in 2019 when he started to bulk up. But then his recent bulk up was just next level. Right. So he posted over the holiday weekend a picture of him, and it sparked a lot of unfounded steroid rumors. And then others then slammed those folks saying, hey, that's racist. So are we being racist towards Kumail Nanjiani? Does this bring up a bigger issue?
Yeah, I do think it does, because I think we've seen how Chris Evans, Chris Pratt, or any of these kind of white male superheroes, they get praised for having this sort of what the kids call glow up. They get to be sexy and they have the abs, and no one ever throws out steroid rumors. And Kumail has actually been quite detailed about his transformation and saying that he has a whole team and a complete lifestyle change that he had to get to make to this point. And so I think what we're seeing here is often how we see black and brown actors are treated in this industry. Hasan Minhaj reminds me of towards the end of last year, a clip from an old Vanity Fair interview where he was talking about, it was like a lie detector test, and he was rating Dax Shepard, and they asked him, like, on a scale of 1 to 10, how hot is Dax Shepard? And he went into explaining about how Dax and a lot of other white actors have this ability to be considered, you know, the hot guy in the romantic comedies, or they get to have mm-hmm. these moments and they're just kind of like, just a little basic, and people put them on pedestals, whereas when you see, you know, black or brown actors, they have to have like these chiseled bodies, the V cuts, and they have to be just perfect for them to even be considered by society attractive. And I think we really need to start talking about this on a bigger scale, because it's a microaggression, it's racist, and it's something that I think we're going to start seeing people demand to stop, because it's just annoying that a lot of these people don't get the opportunity, like a Kumail or a Hasan Minhaj. They don't get the opportunity to be just like these romantic comedy type of guys, are just be considered like attractive for what they're doing without these stigmas being placed on them. Yeah. It's gross.
And that's why Kumail ended up doing The Big Sick. It was a romantic comedy. He created it himself. That's what ends up happening. They create the roles for themselves because they're not being cast in them. But by the way, he went through this transformation for his role in Marvel's upcoming Eternals, co-starring Angelina Jolie and mm-hmm. Kit Harington, which brings up another issue, is like, we don't see a lot of diversity in these superhero movies. We're starting to.
Yeah, we are.
In the past few years, we have started. But in general, the fan base hasn't been necessarily diverse either.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the fan base is racist as hell. I mean, they hate it when Zendaya was, Mary Jane in Spider-Man. They hate it when, like, just black or brown folks or the characters are changed because it's not based on the comics. Well, guess what? All of this stuff is, like, fiction. It's not real. And, you know, anybody, any actor can portray the character to this likeness. That's what an actor does. And so it really reveals the racism that is in that community. community. And it sucks that Camille has to deal with that. And like, if it comes out that he is doing steroids, then that's another conversation. I hope he becomes safe and stops doing all that stuff. But as of now, I know he's been very open about his experience and the big change that he's made in his life to achieve those goals.
Well, listen, Camille Nanjiani, enjoy your hot bod. Enjoy being jacked. Who knows how long it will last?
I mean,
it takes a lot to keep up.
Can you imagine cutting out carbs and sweets? Oh, my goodness.
Hells no. Not even in 2021. 2021 can't make me do it. Coming up on the show, more on the Instagram account Gaze Over COVID that went viral over the holidays. That's next.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Coming up on the show, the Instagram account calling out the gays for partying during COVID. Plus, the cutest engagement between two nurses on our Yaz Queen of the Day.
Wow. I mean, honestly, I am here for the call out and the celebration.
Exactly. A mix of everything here. Let's get into some what's trending this hour right now. In a televised address, the Prime Minister of the UK, Boris Johnson, announced a third new lockdown across England. Now, earlier, the UK's chief medical officers moved the COVID-19 alert level to level 5, the highest possible, on the day when the UK announced more than 58,000 cases.
Since the pandemic began last year, the whole United Kingdom has been engaged in a great national effort to fight COVID. And there's no doubt that in fighting the old variant of the virus, our collective efforts were working and would have continued to work. But we now have a new variant of the virus, and it's been both frustrating and alarming to see the speed with which the new variant is spreading. Our scientists have confirmed this new variant is between 50 and 70% more transmissible. That means you're much, much more likely to catch the virus and to pass it on.
And also, Scottish First Minister Nicola Sturgeon announced stricter COVID-19 restrictions. Also today, to combat the increasing spread of the virus, the new rules effective from midnight on Tuesday until at least the end of January include a legal requirement for everyone in Scotland to stay at home except for essential purposes. And congrats to Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who won a fourth non-consecutive term to lead the House Sunday. She's the first woman to be Speaker, leading the House from 2006 to 2011, and since the Democrats took back the House in 2018.
Yeah, I mean, this was okay news. I was like, that sucks in some ways. I'm interested in seeing a lot of the hot takes online is kind of like, it seems like it's time to move forward and maybe see someone else there, but congratulations to her anyway.
It'll happen, I think, next round. I think we need some, people are feeling like the need for some security and stability right now as we move into this new phase.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people are losing their faith and they can't really count on Democrats to do what needs to be done in some sense. But, it's difficult.
She did hold her own. She has held her own through a really tough time. So it'll be interesting to see what she does in this phase. Now, before he leaves office, President Donald Trump is set to award the nation's highest civilian honor to one of his most vocal political allies, Representative Devin Nunes of California.
Gross.
Yep. The White House released a statement saying, quote, Nunes is a public servant of unmatched talent, unassailable integrity, and unwavering resolve. He uncovered the greatest scandal in American history. Okay. And that was what's trending this hour. What's happening in entertainment news, Ryan?
Okay. So the online sensation that became Ratatouille, the TikTok musical.
Ratatouille. Oh, he said Thule.
Who cares? It's the way I pronounce it. I'm from the South. Just because you speak French don't mean I gotta speak French too.
Isn't that Italian? Ratatouille.
No, I think it's French. The movie was based in France.
Oh, we need a Google now. Okay, continue.
Oh my goodness. Well, before I was rudely interrupted, the musical, the TikTok musical, has raised over $1 million for the Actors Fund organization and struggling performers impacted by the pandemic. This is your Tea Report and an early Yes Queen. You know, those pop culture stories that are trending right now. So, the musical premiered on the social media platform New Year's Day and featured household names including Wayne Brady, Titus Burgess, Adam Lambert. The news of its monetary success was announced Saturday on the production's Twitter page. The TikTok community saw the project go from just a quaint effort started by a user to the 2007 Disney Pixar film to a full-blown event in a matter of weeks. So tickets to see the production went for just $5 a piece. So meaning over 200,000 tickets have been snapped up. So supporters, if you still want to catch it, can catch the show. Tickets will be available to purchase through January 4th, which is today. So if you missed it, sorry, but you got a couple more hours.
Yeah, and the Twitter is @ratatusicle.
Yes, I mean, that's cute. You could have just Google searched it. But this may be the new way that we see Broadway, to be quite honest, because that's a lot of money when you compare it to what we see in Broadway, a successful Broadway show. That's the type of money that they're making, like the Hamilton. So to see something like this happen, I think it gives a lot of, Broadway a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, definitely. I think it was very innovative and it was a very cool approach. It'll be interesting to see if they can replicate it. And by the way, speaking of Google, Ratatouille, you won some points, Ryan. It's French movie. It's about a rodent who dreams of becoming a French chef.
Everyone knows what this movie is about.
No, people, one of the top Google searches was when I wrote it, is Ratatouille the movie French or Italian?
Well, it's based off of a dish.
I'm not alone.
It's about a rat, and it's French. Now, let's move on to the story that we all want to know, because a bar worker in the UK legally changed his name to Celine Dion after a night of drinking and watching one of the Divas' concerts online. So Celine, the new Celine, said that he drank quite a bit during Christmas and fell asleep while streaming the Canadian Celine Dion's concert. Well, several days later, he got paperwork in the mail that said that he had legally changed his name to Celine Dion. So to put this into perspective, he goes on to say that from that moment, on New Year's Day, paparazzi started showing up at his door thinking that Celine Dion was there, which they were right, but it wasn't the right Celine Dion.
Oh my God. That's amazing. I wonder if he if he remembered the next day that he did it or if he was that girl.
He said he almost passed out because he was shocked. Honestly, this guy needs to go to some maybe AA or what's, Alcoholics Anonymous, because honey, this seems like a little intense. I've never done something where I get that blacked out, where I change my name and do legal documentation work. Like, who's
doing
that?
That's a lot of
work. Yeah, he spent, to put this in perspective, he literally spent $120, U.S. dollars. That's a huge fee. So that's your tea report. Let us know your thoughts at LGT Show everywhere. And of course, check out these stories at WeAreChannelQ.com, honey, because I'm finished spilling.
Okay, well, a new Instagram account, Gays Over COVID, is going viral for calling out gays partying over the holidays and even frontline workers. More on that next.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
There's this Instagram account that has caught all of our attention. It's called Gays Over COVID. It was set up in the summer to highlight gay men going to large parties, but it took on a life of its own following a ton of gay circuit parties that were happening during the holidays in Puerto Vallarta, along with other regions around the country and actually internationally. It's even outing nurses and doctors traveling while promoting COVID guidelines. The account got temporarily deactivated this morning, but many are trying to figure out the identity of the poster. And joining us right now is Dr. James Simmons, back from the holidays, but you're actually working. You're coming to us from the hospital.
Yeah. I actually, as a part of self-care, I allow myself 10 minutes to stop and eat every day. So I will spend a few of those minutes with y'all. And I don't know if I'm the breaker of new news for you, but Gays Over COVID is back. She's back online.
What?
Oh, that was really quick. Well, I think what's interesting about this is the response to it. Obviously, we've seen, and we can have these discussions about the privilege of certain groups of gays. And, I don't sugarcoat nothing, but the white gays are showing out, specifically the circuit party white gays, where they put out something where they were saying, we want to reward someone to stop this Gays Over COVID, to find out the real identity. What's the issue here? Why aren't people understanding the moment and the time that we're in from your perspective?
If I had the question to that, we might be out of this pandemic, because people would stop doing things like traveling internationally and going to large circuit parties, which is part and parcel an issue that is causing this to continue. It really is. I think the nature of human behavior is very, very interesting. And sometimes when you tell people not to do something, they do it anyway. I think COVID fatigue is very, very real. We all feel it in our own particular ways. But when you add COVID fatigue on with a certain level of deservedness, right, of entitlement, I think people feel like, oh, I deserve to do this. I'm young. I'm otherwise healthy. I haven't been able to travel all year. And they go and they do some mess like this. And it is absolutely, it brought me to tears over the weekend. I mean, I was absolutely crushed, not only seeing other healthcare providers out there doing this, nurses, doctors, pharmacists, whoever, but even like Mike Schultz, and I will say his name, who was a nurse who was intubated, had to have a G-tube put in, nearly lost his life because of COVID early on. And he was one of those nurses in Puerto Vallarta saying things like, well, I guess it's survival of the fittest. No, if it wasn't for people like me, if it wasn't for other nurses, other medical professionals keeping his butt alive, he wouldn't be where he is. And then to turn around and have the audacity to say something like, well, I guess it's survival of the fittest. No, you weren't going to survive without these resources, which now we don't have because we are way over capacity. People are dying in the parking lots of hospitals in Southern California right now because this pandemic is out of control. And part of the reason this pandemic is out of control is people just like the people that gaze over COVID are calling out on that account.
Yeah, again, you're hearing from Dr. James Simmons right now. Do you think this is a breach of privacy? Is it too much to call them out and shame them publicly?
Really, really nuanced conversation, isn't it? About whether we shame people and how that works. You know, for someone who's been in sort of the sexual public health space for a long time, shaming people to stay on top of their sexual health doesn't work, right? And we as a community, particularly as a queer community, we have experienced a lot of shame ourselves, shame from heterosexual communities, you know, shame those of us who are brown, you know, all different types of kind of shame, right? We can go into that. It is generally not a tool that changes people's behavior. However, I feel like this is categorically different in that changing your own individual behavior or shaming someone over something that they cannot control, like maybe their ableism, for instance. So if someone is disabled in a wheelchair, has a different ability, and we shame that person for that, we shame them for their weight, which, you know, we now know research shows about 70% of the cause of our obesity is out of our control. So there's lots of things that we shame people for that they are really not in control of. You are in control of buying a ticket, knowingly, willfully traveling, exposing yourself and others in large gatherings, potentially getting a disease and bringing it back to a place. A lot of those people who were in Puerto Vallarta and Miami and Houston and all those other places that have those big parties are here from Southern California. And now they're going to come back to Southern California, where it has been determined by the World Health Organization that this is the most dangerous place on earth right now for COVID. So if we get to shame, if shaming is the thing, like our last resort, like me, when I have to intubate somebody and put them on a ventilator, if that's the last resort to keep you alive, well, maybe shaming might be a last resort to get people to pay attention and listen that this is real and their actions have consequences.
Yeah, I think we should be shaming. I genuinely do, because a lot of this is coming from privilege and people feeling like the rules don't apply to them. And I think we see this every single time in any case. But when it comes to a pandemic that is killing so many people, it seems quite responsibly the most responsible thing to do to shame these folks and put them out there if they want to go party and they want to go to their underground, you know, places to have their times. Yeah, there needs to be some consequences at this point. And so I just appreciate you for being on the front lines, saving lives, doing what you have to do, and really going through this trauma as well. You're seeing people die. And I think we really need to be not taking that for granted.
It's heartbreaking. Well, Dr. James Simmons, thanks again for being here and sharing that with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, y'all.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
We're wrapping up the show as we always do with our Yes Queen of the Day.
Yes Queen.
Now, hundreds of nursing home residents in New York received handmade best wishes for 2021 thanks to the kindness of a five-year-old girl.
Oh my God.
So sweet.
Children are already doing better than us
exactly.
In the new year. How embarrassing.
Ariana Chopra is from Vestal, New York. She spent her winter vacation making 200 New Year's cards for the residents of a local nursing home. Well, you and I were popping bottles, you know, to start the new year, she was making these cue cards.
Well, I mean, if I wasn't popping bottles, maybe I would have done this. She just doesn't, she can't pop bottles. So let's not, you know, just make some assumptions here. If she wanted to pop bottles, maybe she would pop bottles instead of making cards. That doesn't make me less of a person, of a good person.
Here she is sharing why she decided to do this.
So in my mind, I got an idea of making cards for the people in the nursing home who cannot go out, meet their friends, and meet their family because of the coronavirus.
I mean, so sweet, so cute. Definitely inspires all of us adults to do better. That's all I can
say. She's really actually really cute. And all of these are hand-drawn. There's multiple. Mm-hmm. Her hand had to be, like, ready to fall off. But I also think that kids, they just love to color and all the things that kids do, I guess. I don't know.
You know, there's adult coloring books, too. My friends back in Montreal, my hometown, bought them because they just need a break from their kids.
Did you say that she used her money in her piggy bank?
No, but you've just added that information.
Oh, my God.
Which makes her even more sweet.
She broke open her piggy bank. There is a photo that we'll put possibly on our social at LGT show where she broke her piggy bank to buy the residents a New Year's cake as well as a decorative Santa Claus and a vase.
Come
wow.
on.
And I mean, there's like at least, you know, $20 in there. So she had to spend a lot of coin.
Yeah. All right. So yes, queen for act of kindness. But let's wrap it up with this. I love this story. South Dakota nurse Eric Vander Lee got a surprise marriage proposal while administering the COVID-19 vaccine to his boyfriend, Robbie Vargas. Here's that.
It's been kind of a crazy year. And it's been really a fun ride to have you in my life. So I just want to know.
Oh my God! Is this happening?
Did you guys know
this is? Congrats to the beautiful couple. I love that was captured on camera. And a sweet way to end a crazy year. And that does it for our Yas Queen of the Day.
Yes, Queen.
And our show, our first show of 2021. We really started off strong, Ryan.
I mean, I think we did. I think we have a lot to cover. There's so much even when we were on break that I was like, oh my God, I wish we were in front of a mic talking about it. But we're back and we are better than ever.
We are. And tomorrow, of course, on the show, the Georgia Senate runoffs are happening. We'll be bringing you everything happening around that, all the news you need to know. Plus, should pregnant women get the COVID-19 vaccine? That and more on tomorrow's show. As always, a reminder, you can listen to our show and interviews as a podcast. Just go to the radio.com app or where podcasts are available and search Let's Go There. What are you doing with your life? We are sending you love and light.
And honey, remember to slay.
And stick around for Loveline with Dr. Chris. He's going to have author Ian Jenkins on today to talk about his new book, Three Dads and a Baby. That's Ooh. Next.
Let's Go There with Shira Lazar and Ryan Mitchell on Channel Q.
On the next show, we're bringing you the latest from the Georgia Senate runoffs.
Plus, vaccines are rolling out too slowly, so could half dosing help?
Listen live weekdays 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Channel Q, or on your own time with the Let's Go There podcast on the radio.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide.
based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.